Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, what a joy to be able to gather with your people and to be able to pray to you and worship you. And Lord, we want to look at another prayer in the Bible this morning. And we want to begin by just singing a couple of verses of "Great is Thy Faithfulness." So let's sing the first and last verse of 106, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Okay, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen to that, huh? Well, turn today to Isaiah 38. And we are having a repeat prayer today of Hezekiah that we covered a few months ago in 2 Chronicles 20 and also in our 2 Kings 20. And then we also looked at 2 Chronicles 32 a bit, which we'll look at briefly today. And last week we looked at Hezekiah's first prayer when the city was being besieged, and you know the Lord answered that prayer and protected the city without an arrow going into it, and then destroyed 185,000 Assyrians. So the Assyrian threat to the southern kingdom now is over. Sennacherib went back home, and his son killed him first night he was there, apparently, as was prophesied. Now remember that the northern kingdom had already fallen to Assyria years earlier. And so we have here Hezekiah, and just to put this into context a little bit better, and Pastor Chuck mentioned this the other night about good kings, bad kings, but we had a good king Uzziah, right? And he was very popular, and he reigned a long time. And when he died, Isaiah was, you know, "I saw the Lord," remember that in Isaiah 6. Well, then his son was Ahaz. Ahaz was a wicked king. So we have good king, bad son. Bad son, Ahaz, has a good king, son, Hezekiah. Hezekiah, good king, he has bad son, Manasseh. So it's very interesting. You go good, bad. And, of course, every time there is good king, the things get a little bit better because God is faithful. And then when the bad king comes, then the thing plummets, you know. And we see that, of course, in our own country here as well. But now the 185,000 have been destroyed, and you would think good times ahead. And Hezekiah has been a good man, and his prayer was answered, and God saved Jerusalem and destroyed the Assyrian army. But now we read, now he's only 39 years old, maybe 40, 39 or 40 years old at this point. And, you know, that's pretty young, isn't it? I mean, anybody here that young? Yeah, maybe all of you are, but, you know.
At it's hard.
Yeah. So, verse 1, we read, "In those days Hezekiah was sick and near death," at 39. "And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said, 'Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live.'" quite a greeting, right?
Yeah.
So Isaiah had just brought him great news before about answering his prayer and the protecting him against the Assyrian army. But here the prophets don't always bring good news from the Lord, do they? But they are to tell what the Lord tells them to tell. Of course, this is good counsel for all of us. Set your house in order, because we don't know when we're going to die. Now, I believe this is the only instance that I know of in the Bible where a man is going to be told how long he's going to live, because he's going to be given 15 more years. I don't know if there may be others, but I'm not aware of any others in the Bible where somebody knows how many days they have left. We don't know, do we? We expect Jesus to come very soon. And even if he tarries, we're not going to be here any guaranteed length of time, are we? So we should have our houses in order. And Hezekiah is told to set your house in order, and for you shall die. Now here is his response. Remember, he went to prayer quickly when the Rabshakeh brought the bad news, and he fasted, and the Lord answered the prayer. Now here again he goes to prayer. It would appear, it just says then, so we don't know how long that is, but he turned his face toward the wall. Now, I don't know what that really means. He maybe was in bed, whatever, but he turned toward the wall, and he prayed to the Lord. And here's his prayer. Remember now, O Lord, I pray. Good address, right? And, of course, he's already standing on the promises of God. Remember, remember, right? And remember now, we're under the old covenant in this instance. We would not pray this, remember what a good life I've lived. We would pray, remember how I've trusted in Jesus and what he did through me. But Jesus has not yet come during this prayer time. And in the old covenant, you know, it was the if and then, the if and then. If you do well, then I'll bless you. If you keep my commandments, you will be blessed. And so I think maybe it's not quite so arrogant and prideful as it may sound when Hezekiah is going to tell the Lord what a good guy he's been. Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart. Now, can you say that? You're not under the law. Jesus has done it all. But can you say, Lord, remember how I've walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart? Can we say that? I pray we can. And if we can't, we ought to think about it. And then also, I've done what is good in your sight. That's a strong statement. To tell the Lord, I've done what is good in your sight, isn't it? That's a very strong statement. And then he wept bitterly. This word bitterly is gadol. Gadol is used over 500 times in the Bible. It's over 280 times it's translated great. So when you see the great sea, or when you see a great light by day and so forth, or you see a great God, that's this word. So it's usually translated great, but it can be translated loudly. It can be translated crying. And so here, he is weeping loudly or greatly, or this is no small tear here. This is a big cry. And I don't know what part tears have in prayers other than we'll see here that God is going to answer the prayer. And he says, and he saw his tears. I think tears, like fasting to me, are an indication of, or can be an indication of commitment to prayer. It's just, this is a light little prayer, you know, Lord, heal somebody's cold or whatever. Or is this really a heavy-duty prayer, you know, Lord, save me. I don't want to die yet, is what he's saying. And we'll see through this prayer of the fear, I think, of the Old Testament saints in not having the promise of Christ, not having the promise of out of this body present with the Lord. They're fearful to go to Sheol because they don't know what awaits them. And we will see that here as we go through. So he says, see what a good job I've done in your sight. And he wept bitterly. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah saying, now in the Chronicles, and or actually in the King's account, we have before Isaiah even got halfway across the court, the answer came. So this is a prayer that we want to watch because it's a prayer that was answered. It was right after the prayer that was answered for the destruction of the Assyrian army. And here's the prayer. I will deliver you and this city from the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. Now, Hezekiah, it was really committed to the protection of Israel. He built strongholds. You know, he now, after this 15 years more, he's going to build this tunnel. Maybe some of you have seen the Hezekiah tunnel in Jerusalem, where they went to the Gihon Springs and they tunneled through the limestone to get it into the city, so that under a siege they didn't have to go outside the city. And what they actually did before they would be attacked, they would stop the water up, so the water didn't go out for the enemy soldiers to drink, but was all inside. So he was a man really committed to protection, and we'll see this here a little bit later, that there's a part of everything that the Lord has for us that we need to do. It's just not wait on him totally. So I will defend this city, and this is the sign to you from the Lord. Now this is kind of interesting. Why would the Lord offer a sign? Well, I think one of the clues here is if we go back, turn back for just a minute to Isaiah 7. Isaiah 7 is the incident where God offered Hezekiah's father Ahaz a sign, and he refused it. Look at verse 12. Well, look at verse 11 of Isaiah 7. Ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. Now here is a godless man. Why wouldn't he ask for a sign? Well, if we go back even further, in 2 Kings 16, you don't have to turn there necessarily, but in 2 Kings 16, we see wicked Ahaz, when being attacked by Syria, made an alliance with the king of Assyria to protect him. And so he's in cahoots now with the king of Assyria, and God is warning Judah that they're going to fall because of their idolatry, and Ahaz doesn't want to hear about it. So he said, I don't want a sign from you. Now that is bad. We don't want, when God offers us something, we don't want to say, no, Lord, I don't need it, I don't want it, I can handle it on my own, or whatever, you know? I mean, it sounds silly, but I know a big fisherman who kind of went that way, didn't he? He said, oh, they may deny you, but I will never deny you. So we need to be careful. We don't get into that pompous, proud position at any time. So he says here, this is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing which he has spoken. And I think in the other account it showed that he actually had a choice whether to have this sundial go backward or forward. And he chose backward because that's more unnatural. It's a tougher miracle, really, to have the sun go backward than it is forward, it would seem. And so we talked about that before. We went through this 10 degrees. It's thought to be about a half an hour per degree. So this is about a five-hour turning backward, and thought it was around noon. So that would mean you'd go back to like 7 o'clock in the morning. So that was a major miracle. And it was big enough that probably the whole world heard about it. So one of the reasons I think God does signs like he did with the parting of the Red Sea and all is for the world to know that he is God. So the sun returned 10 degrees on the dial by which it had gone down. Now here we have something that wasn't in Chronicles. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, who had been sick and had recovered from his sickness. This is what he writes. He's next till almost to the end of the chapter here. He writes his almost memoirs, or his thoughts, a journal, if you will, of when he was sick. And in verses 10 through 14, the fear of him really comes out here. He doesn't want to go into the gates of Sheol. He wasn't going to be deprived of his years. He wants to see the land. He says, I shall not see Yahweh, the Lord, in the land of the living if he dies. Now, think of the contrast of the blessing we have. When will we see Jesus? Up close and personal. Really, not until we're out of these bodies, right? I mean, yes, he's in us and he's with us, but we will not really be in the presence of the Father until we're out of these bodies, right? But here he didn't have that. And he says, my lifespan is gone. I'm cut off like a weaver. He cuts me off the loom day into night. You make an end of me. And he breaks my bones from day until night like a crane or a swallow. I just chattered. I mourn like a dove. My eyes fail from looking upward. Oh, Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. So this is not the sign of a confident man going to death, is it? Far from it. And I mean, we kind of laugh and kind of say, oh, ye a little faith. But he didn't have the cross behind him, did he, like we do? Now he changes in verse 15. What shall I say? He hath both spoken to me, and he himself has done it. Now look at this next statement. I shall walk carefully all my years. Great promise, but he didn't quite do it. He didn't quite do it. As we go on over to 39, we read at that time, chapter 39, verse 1, Merodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that he had been sick and recovered. Now, Babylon is just a fledgling nation at this point, power-wise. Assyria is still the big power in the world, even though they lost most of their army over in Jerusalem. But they're up and coming. And I imagine that Hezekiah would kind of like to align himself with an up-and-comer. And wouldn't you, as a little nation, be the king of a little nation, be flattered when a much bigger nation would recognize you and say, hey, we want to come visit you because we've heard that the Lord gave you 15 more years. So if you go back now to 2 Chronicles 32, read what we read there, and it's not as pretty as we'd like to have it, but it's so typical. And I think there's a point here that I want to make that is good for all of us. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 24. In those days Hezekiah was sick and near death, and he prayed to the Lord, and he spoke to him and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah did not repay to the favor shown him for what? His heart was lifted up. His heart was lifted up. Notice the subtleness, how sin gets in through pride. Here's a man who is so thankful he's been given the 15 more years of life, and he's making this commitment, I shall walk carefully all my life. And don't we do that? I mean, after we receive the Lord, don't we kind of either overtly or at least subtly kind of go in the direction, Lord, now that I'm yours, now that I'm saved, I'm not going to sin anymore. Any of you ever thought that at all? Maybe just I have. But can't get through a day without sinning, right? So, I mean, it's just, you know, I guess be careful in making vows to the Lord that you're not going to do any more sinning because you're going to break them. But he says, I shall walk carefully all my years. And then in verse 19 of 38, he says, the living man, he shall praise you as I do this day. The Father shall make known your truth to the children. As I read that, you know, you think, what happened with Manasseh? What happened to teaching his son, who will be born after this, the good things of God? And maybe he taught Manasseh the good things of God, and maybe it wasn't the parents' fault at all. Maybe it was just totally Manasseh turned. I don't know. But Manasseh, 55 years king of Judah, in some respects the worst king they ever had. At the end, he got captured, and when he was captured, he humbled himself, and God saved him. So that's a miracle in itself. But as it says here, he is going to make known the truth to his children. It didn't seem like it took very well. As we go on through 39 then, so he tells these guys, he not only welcomes them, but he shows them everything. So then Isaiah says, who are they? Where did they come from? What did you show them? He said, he's honest at least. He said, I showed them everything. And so verse 5 and verse 39, then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left. And, you know, as I was reading that, I was just thinking, you know, what we really set our eyes on is really important in life, materially anyway, that's often the thing first that the Lord takes away from us, isn't it? You see some of these really strong marathon running guys that, you know, they've been a picture of health all their years. Sometimes the Lord just takes all that away from them, doesn't he? And that's a good thing if it goes slowly so they can turn to the Lord, right? But here we have Hezekiah prideful of all of the gold and silver that he had. It's okay to show what God has given you if you give him the credit, right? But if you take the credit, then it's pride, and he had his heart lifted up. So, got some bad news coming, Hezekiah. They shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. In other words, Babylon is going to rule over Israel, over Jerusalem. And, of course, they did for 70 years, didn't they? They were in captivity. Then Hezekiah says to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good," and I take that he is accepting it and he understands it. And he says, "For at least there will be peace and truth in my days." And when I first read that, I thought, man, what a prideful guy. He doesn't care his sons are going to get killed as long as he doesn't get his skin hurt. But I'm not so sure that that's a fair analysis of that. It may be he's just thankful that there will be some more peace ahead, even though that he understands Babylon is going to overtake them. And there will be some peace in his days. And he did use that 15 years to, as I mentioned, put in the water tunnel and to continue to strengthen the city. And so we see this word tempting God. His wicked father Ahaz said, "I will not accept the sign. I will not tempt God." But that was an excuse. When we don't want to do what the Lord often says, sometimes we make the excuse, "I don't want to tempt God." Mm-hmm. And that's wrong to use it that way. But on the other hand, when the Lord does want to do something for you and you say, "No, I don't need it," then I think you tempt God. And even this business here of verse 21 of 38, where Isaiah said, "Let them take a lump of figs and apply it as a poultice on the boil, and he shall recover." Now, God has already told him he's going to recover, right? God has already told him he's going to have 15 more years. So why would you fool around with figs? Why would you fool around with, in effect, any medical attention if God's already promised you you're going to have another 15 years? Well, I think when the Lord tells you to do something, you do it. And you don't say, "Well, I don't have to do that, Lord, because you've already promised you're going to heal me, so I'm not going to take anything." No, I think you do what the Lord tells us to do. And sometimes we understand it, sometimes we don't. So we look to him, we pray to him, we thank him, and we want to be obedient to him, right? Father, we thank you for the second time around with this prayer. And Lord, there's even more here that we didn't cover today, but we just don't have time to go into every detail. But there's still a lot for each of us to ponder, I think. Lord, we do need to get our house in order. And we do want to be able to say, "Lord, I have walked in truth and I have done the things that you wanted me to do." And Lord, how many days you have given us, we don't know. And we are so grateful, Lord, that we have that living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We don't have to fear death. You have claimed the victory over death and over sin. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And it has been purchased by your blood, Lord Jesus. So we want to thank you and praise you, Lord. We thank you and praise you. And Lord, as I think about sickness, I just think about Bob Hoekstra this morning and David Hocking to a degree, although I think he's getting better, but Bob isn't yet. So I pray we would pray for them and anyone else that we know is in need of prayer for ease of pain and or healing or both. And Lord, guide us now as we go to prayer. And may we remember prayers like this in the Bible, that you did pay attention to fervent prayers. You do pay attention to prayers in this case, which were accompanied with much great weeping and great sincerity there, it would seem. And so, Lord, we want to pray fervently and knowing that it is not our great faith, but it is your faithfulness. So lead us and guide us now this morning as we move forward in one accord, led by your Spirit and responding to that. We ask in Jesus' name.